At that conference in Aylmer, the motion to change the constitution on the eschatology part of the doctrinal statement was read and discussed, and then, of course, according to the constitution, it must remain on the table for a year and be voted on the next year. Mm-hmm. And we had many unhappy people about the whole motion. They felt there was really no need to change the constitution. See, then this was 75, then in the winter of 76, when we were here, when we started the Bible school, and I was one of the teachers.
You were here for 3 months?
Yes.
When, October?
No, January, February, March.
Okay.
During that time, I attended the Ontario Field Council meeting. The Field Council is made up of certain members of all the four churches here. And then I asked them whether I could say something first, and then I was going to make a motion. And then the time came, then I explained to the Field Council members that we were changing constitution, reviewing them every so often. The change was usually every 10 years, and we were now about 5 or 6 years. After a few years, we would review that anyway, regardless. And since there were a number of people who didn't think there was any real value in changing it this way, it really was in the constitution what they were asking for, just a matter of saying it in stronger words or different words. Basically, this constitution allows for that. But I would like to move that we take off that motion from the table, from the conference table, you know. Mm-hmm. And I said to them, to the group, I says, you can vote the way you want to, but I'd like to make this motion, a seconder on it. And then it carried fairly well. There were 2 votes against it. The others were 4, 7-4 or something like that. Now, I knew that
one of the 2 against it would be Neil Sawatsky.
Yeah, and I knew that Neil was hurt by that. He didn't say that, but I knew that he was hurt by that. And this must have been in January, I suppose. And then in March, Neil also was a teacher at the school, a part-time teacher, the first year of Bible school. We had Dave Friesen, Pete Easter, and myself, and Neil Sawatsky. They were all teachers at first year. Part-time teachers. I was on the full-time. Then in the middle of March, I'm not sure what day it was, then the English church had a board of elders meeting. That's the way that their leadership runs. They had 10 what they called charter members, and they had this board of elders. And at one of those meetings, at the end of the meeting, there was one of the members who said, I'd like to move something here for your consideration. Then he moved and we officially withdraw from the EMC conference as a church. Mm-hmm. I heard about it through Art Krieger, who happened to be one of the board members or the elders. But he had not attended that meeting. He had been away on a trip to Harrisonburg, Virginia, and coming back, he was told by the pastor that this was what had happened. And Art informed me, that's how I found out about it.
They had, at that meeting, decided to withdraw.
They had decided to withdraw, and that's the board of elders made a decision. Then, once I found out, I contacted Neil Sawatsky and asked him about it. He said, this is the way it was. He didn't name the man who made the motion. He said to me then he had not, it was a surprise to him that this motion came, but they had discussed it. He had told the man how important this decision was. But then when the vote came, it carried. Well, the next step then was to call a brotherhood meeting from their church. And then I asked Neil, will you kindly inform me what the brotherhood will decide on? I met with Neil Sawatsky before the brotherhood meeting, and I explained to him the implications that were there in making that move. And I also said, you as a pastor, you are the most responsible person. It'll depend on you. What you will say. Well, he said, no, it isn't me, it's the others doing it. I said, you cannot do that as a pastor. You cannot absolve yourself of that responsibility. He said, if I was a pastor, I'd take that responsibility. That's what you have. You have to be. Well, the meeting was held with the brotherhood, and they voted again, and it carried. There were, I'm not sure, I just saw the votes went, but it carried. and that was their decision. And initially, I mean, a decision on their own. And then Neil phoned me and told me what the decision was, and then he says, look, this is your decision, but from my viewpoint, I have to contact the officials of the conference and inform them all of this and ask them what can be done next. So I phoned to Manitoba and contacted those men, and they had a meeting there and decided that they would send Edgestase down here as a representative, and that Edgestase and myself should meet with these men and try to discuss that, at least explain the different positions, if nothing else. Now, Dave Friesen was also a member of the Board of Ministers at the time, pastor of the Houghton Church, and he was strongly in favor of trying to negotiate with them and bring them back, you know, that they would remove or backtrack on this motion. Then we had that meeting, and of course we explained the conference viewpoint about the Constitution. We explained the whole thing, how it was. And
what emerges as the major issues now again?
Then we asked for their reasons. One was the immersion baptism.
Immersion baptism?
Yeah. It had to be immersion baptism. It had to be premillennial, pre-trib eschatology, and it had to be eternal security. Those three issues were then as prominent. Mm-hmm. And we then argued and said, well, eternal security, we have been teaching, we have people who are eternal security people, and we have those who are not, and we have accepted that because it's a controversial thing, we have accepted it. And as far as the eschatology concerned, we have people on both sides, and we don't think it's clear enough in the scriptures that we should simply take one position and say the others are wrong. We cannot do that.
And baptism the same?
And baptism the same. We said certain people were baptized, certain churches were baptized by immersion, certainly not. But the Bible didn't teach that. Well, they didn't like the indecisiveness that the Fed said, well, you don't take a position on that. You're simply watered down to something that's vague. So the whole meeting was there to explain the different viewpoints, but there was no change of attitude or policy or this or anything.
So then the church officially left the UMC then?
Yes.
Point.
And maybe one more episode I should mention was that at the summer conference then in Steinbeck, I think it was in Steinbeck, was that?
In 1976?
76, yeah. Was then that this was re-reported to the conference, and Stace and I. Well, the conference couldn't do anything really. What they finally did was, once somebody made a motion, we wanted to write them a letter saying that we wish them well, we are praying for you. And another thing that, this was at the conference, another thing in the board, as far as the Board of Ministers was concerned, was that he told Neil Sawatzki then, if you're not anymore a member of Congress, you cannot be any of our ministers either. You have to cancel your certificate. And we gave him so much time, and then he said he canceled it out. And he did that too. So
that meant he couldn't perform weddings.
That's right.
Officially was not a minister.
And he has been without that paper for several years since. I'm not sure if he has it now. Could be.
Does that lead naturally into Kitchener as well?
All right. During that winter, 76, in January, February, March, then already in fall before that, the English group, having Abe Fair as an assistant pastor, had made contact with Kitchener, and then Abe Fair started serving them. He drove out to from Aylmer to Kitchener to serve them here on some reason.
That same year?
Yeah, I was already in the fall of 75.
Okay.
And then through the winter of 76. And of course, since Abe was one of those who had left the German church and now in the English church they had withdrawn, then of course we had some serious questions about him serving at Kitchener Church. So what we did then, and Ed Stace was here. Ed Stace and I met with the Kitchener leaders, that is Corny Hyde and Jake Keeson and Isaac Keeson.
At the same time as this thing was transpiring in Aylmer, you came over here then as well.
Yeah, when when Ed Stace was here for that meeting, we also met with the Kitchener brethren. Not knowing how the whole situation was. Anyway, we met with these men. This was on a Friday night. They came to Aylmer. And we said to them, look, does it work that Abe Fair, who has withdrawn from our conference, is your worker here? Well, they said, we have a brotherhood meeting on Saturday afternoon, and we will discuss it there, what we should do. So we said to them, now look, if you vote for Abe Fair to be your pastor, then of course it means that you, the church, will have to withdraw too from the conference.
Mm.
If you don't want to do that, then you'll have to vote against Abe Fair. Those are the issues that are involved here.
You as Stace and Sawatsky then told them that sort of very directly.
Yeah, well, we told them very directly. We talked to them for quite a while and discussed these issues back and forth. And
did you sense a sentiment at that point in the meeting?
Not that much. We knew that they liked the affair. And then after we had done this, we also went to the affair and discussed this with him.
I see.
So we said to him that, see, that the next day on Saturday, they would be together there and the affair would be there too. So we said to Abe Fair then, now look, here, this is what has happened. You withdrawn from the conference. Do you think it's right for you to go and serve the Kitchener Church? Well, he said, if they want me, I will. And but what if they don't want you? They said, no, well, he says, I'll quit then.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see if this won't work. Well, then they discussed it in their group, and I'm not sure how the meeting went anyway. During that weekend, we came in contact with them again on Sunday, I think it was. Then they decided we want to stay with the conference, which means that we will get rid of Abe Fair. So then we arranged there that Abe Fair would continue serving them until we had a worker for them. But the idea was, as soon as we had a worker, then Abe would leave. We were still far away from here, and we couldn't get a worker so easily. Then, of course, Ed Stace went back, and we went back, too. And it was then that the mission board got a hold of Peter Buehlers and got them to take on the Kitchener Church. Well, that then meant that Abe Fair would leave. And we didn't know Abe Fair. He is a man who doesn't say much. You know, he's a quiet type of person. He didn't really know what he meant. And then Buehlers came here, of course, and Abe Fair had to leave. But then, of course, that had already gone so far that these three men whom we talked about before, the leaders of the church, they were with Abe Fair already. You know. They were sort of seeing go. They felt this could go the same way as the English church would go. And now, what else should I say? There's another episode here. I know if I should bring that in.
It's up to you if you want.
It's a controversial thing. Should it go in there or not?
With reference to what?
During the time that Abe Fair was the worker here, it seemed that the Kitchener group, at least some of them, were turning against the EMMC and sympathizing more with the English work in Aylmer. And as a a consequence of that, they also accused certain leaders of our conference of saying things which were not right, you know, which they didn't agree with, and so on and so on. Then in the fall of 76, after Buehler's had been here for a little while, then this sentiment became fairly strong and open, and then there was a meeting called with the leaders of some from EMC and the local Kitchener church, where this whole thing was discussed back and forth, and apologies were made from one side, mainly from the EMC side. The other side did not apologize. At that same meeting, the local leaders of the Kitchener church were then unhappy with Peter Buehler, the new pastor of the church, and they accused him quite heavily at that meeting. Peter graciously accepted the accusations, that is, he didn't fight back. Issues such as wearing jeans in church, or long hair with boys, or different external things were strongly mentioned. And then also the immersion baptism was the only mode that was to be used. And another issue was there seemed that these three men who were leaders were also controlling the church, whether members could be added to it or not, and they were the deciding people. And it was said then that they and their wives, who were Sunday school teachers, they were pretty well in control of the church. Well, this was on a Saturday, and then on Monday morning, Peter Buehler phoned us at Aylmer and said something had to be done. These three leaders were now going to pull out of the church, or whatever. Something had to be done. And since Aylmer is under the mission board, we then contacted Jerry Hildebrandt.
And he was then the executive secretary of the
missions director.
Missions director.
Yeah. Okay. He should come here and try to solve the problem here, because it was on the mission board. And then when he came here, was on Thursday, he and Dick Harmsen, from a member of the mission board from Aylmer, came here to Kitchener and had meetings with these men and with the brethren. And the end result of it was that these three men were then told to either you withdraw from the church, or you work with it. So it's either one or the other. Which then, of course, involved the whole treasury part and the leadership of the church, leadership of the Sunday school, and so on. Mm-hmm. And they were given a certain time to decide this and that, but Saturday they decided that they wanted to withdraw from the church.
So then they took a couple of other people with them as well?
They took a few other couples with them, yeah. Not that many, a couple of...
Five, six families?
All told, I think it was about five or six. Some have come back, one or two have come back since. And they then, as far as I know, they joined that independent Baptist church, whatever that's called.
Bill with those.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Peter Buehler, of course, kept working with the group that remained.
You have any comments? You've already indicated a little bit on the Bible school. Can you give me a little bit of background there in terms of how you've said what the philosophy was behind it? You started in 76.
In January, yes, we started. We had it for 3 months that year.
Okay, what size of group did you have coming in, you remember?
We had a total, we registered people. That means if it would take one course, they would be registered, we charged $5 for it, and they'd become a student. They were all part-time students, our total was 54 that first year.
Did some take more than one course?
There were those who took up to five courses.
Offered five courses?
We offered more than five, but there were those who took five courses. That means they sat in class for five courses. They didn't write the exams, some did. They didn't do the extra work, but the initial thing was to sit in the class.
And the teachers, you had four, you said before?
Let's see, we had Pete Giesbrecht and Dave Fries and Neil Sawatsky and myself and Dennis Krieger. There were five teachers. four part-time, one full-time teacher.
You were the full-time one.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that then, some students, then you started again the next fall?
Well, let me say this first. We had the Bible teaching and Bible subjects, which includes mission subjects, and also Sunday school workers courses. And we had English language, and we had music. So that was the first year.
Mm-hmm.
We had it in the old United Church building basement. It was rented there, just a few miles east of Aylmer. They rented to us very cheaply.
United Church.
Yeah.
Close to the present UMC church?
That's right.
I don't know where it is.
It's gone.
Oh.
They tore it down later.
Where was it? From Summers Corner?
From Summers Corner, a few hundred yards, a couple hundred yards south. On the east
along,
side.
Along that road?
Up on the hill there, first hill.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The second year, we were able to rent the Orville School, which was closed for reasons.
Centralization.
Yeah, right. And that year, we had 84 students, I think it was, 85 total. That year we also did some extension work. By that I mean we gave Leamington some courses. So, is that ready?
Yep.
Well, we gave extension courses in Leamington that year and the next year again on a Saturday. For example, you have 4 hours of teaching on a Saturday, Bible courses. The second year, that's just the first year in that Orville School, and we also had some short courses that year. We brought in a special teacher for a month of teaching, intensive teaching for a month.
Like who?
Well, we had Ben Wiebe in the first year and Jerry Hildebrand.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry gave us a course on missions and a course on leadership, and Ben Wiebe gave a course in the book of Galatians. And then the next year, which was 77, we again rented the building very, very cheaply from the school board.
What did you have to pay?
We paid $250, $50 a month for the school. Then we did all the utilities on it. It was just simply taking care of the school, basically. We rented 2 rooms then. It's a 4-room school. And then in the spring of 78, the school was supposed to be sold, and the school was finally bought on June the 4th, I think it was, public auction for $52,500, that's the way it was. $52,500, yeah. $52,500. And the school has been operating the third year. We had 74 students, or 75, something like that. And last year, which was 78, 79, we had 64 students registered. And then we gave some extension courses, like last year in 78, 79, we gave some extension courses in Kitchener, and also in Houghton Center. Basically, the school is there for the purpose of teaching those who have not had the opportunity of schooling before, language. And then the Bible section is there for to prepare people for better Christian work, regardless of what they will be doing. You're hoping that missionaries will come out of it, or other workers. And this present coming year, we are planning to introduce the language, Spanish language course. This year we are planning to introduce the Spanish language course. The philosophy behind it is that so many of our people here in this community of Aylmer and others have very strong sympathetic feelings to the work in Mexico, not just with the Mennonites there, but also with the nationals. these people are more interested in speaking Spanish than High German. And we feel that if we have a school that wants to produce missionaries, we should work with the Spanish language, because we feel that the people here, the workers who will come from this school, will be interested in not only Mexico, but also the work in South America and Bolivia and those other countries where there are Mennonites, but also with nationals. For example, the Shorobi station is geared to that we work with both. Now, if we should work on some other work and send some other workers out, we feel that the Spanish language is a real need for to work with.
So you lined up a Spanish teacher for this year?
We thought we had him, but at this point we don't have one, but we're working to get one in. Mm-hmm. At least that's on the program. And we're also trying to upgrade the school by doing the same kind of work that other accredited schools are doing, giving them the same level of teaching and also the same amount and level of work that they're supposed to do, research work, writing of papers and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hoping to have at least a dozen full-time students this year.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, we've had mainly just the part-time students.
Any good indications you will have full-time?
Well, we know of about three already that are fairly well committed to
full-time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our promotion hasn't been that much yet. That's coming. Has to go in more than after.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah. Thank you.
Did you get anything new?